Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans from around the world. Visit her website at starfuentes.com. Then join her here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. We will be taking callers after the half hour. The number is 657-383-1612. I'm very pleased tonight to have Bob Frisell, the founder of Breath of Light, and the world-celebrated author of Nothing in This Book Is True, But Exactly How Things Are. He also teaches the Flower of Life workshop, that's sacred geometry in the Merkaba. He's been trained by Jim Leonard and Leonard Orr and Drumvalo Melchizedek. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, hi, Star. It's great to be here, and I want to say thank you for having me. So I'm looking forward to having a little fun with you, and we'll see what happens, eh, what?
That sounds like fun. Tell me, what got you started on this path, and what lit your fire to do all this wonderful work?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I have to go way, way back in the midst of time to begin to answer that. And back in the 1970s, Star, my main a goal in life was to be the very best bowler that I could be, professional bowler on a full-time basis touring on the professional tour. And after bowling six tournaments out there, I realized that I wasn't quite up to speed if I really wanted to make that a full-time profession. That, in fact, the biggest difference between me and the top touring pros was that they were more likely to come through in a pressure situation. And not that I was a total dud, but I wasn't quite as consistent as they were. And very simply because you need to be cool, calm, and collected when you need to perform the most. And I would tend very much to tense up and become my own worst enemy. So interestingly enough, my quest and the 100% intention I had behind it, the burning desire to be the best bowler I could be, led me into spirituality. I first discovered meditation and got a significant answer to my problem. And it just kept going. It just kept snowballing from there. Actually, you know, the real truth is that back in 1972, I picked up a book by Alan Watts, and the name of the book is The Book. And the subtitle is On the Taboo Against Knowing Who You Are. And at that moment, when I first began reading that book, I was hooked, even though, you know, outwardly I was looking to become a better bowler. But I was hooked, and the reason I was hooked is that there was an inner resonance. In my case, in my situation, it was taking me back to my early childhood. You know, 4 or 5 years of age, when you still have all that awe and wonder and wow, everything is just fantastic. And I remember specifically, because I grew up in North Dakota, northern part of North Dakota, actually, and especially in the wintertime, if you could stand the cold on a crisp, clear December or January night, you know, gazing at the night sky was just awesome. Tremendously enhanced by the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. And so this book by Alan Watts was just taking me back to there, that wow, that awe, that wonder, that inner resonance, that, you know, that there's something more going on than I had kind of like had programmed out of me, conditioned out of me, or just somehow forgotten. And the truth is, I was hooked on spirituality from that moment, and it just kept going and kept getting better. And I can tell you more if you want.
Well, you know, studying in many parts of the world, having lived in India a couple of times and at Africa and then with the Corderos in Mexico, one of the very, very first places they always start with is with breath. Bob, me about breath.
Yeah, well, how that happened, how that got started is that my bowling career came to an abrupt halt when I injured my back in one of the tournaments, and like a dummy, I pretended it wasn't there, and, well, I'll just play through it and like that. It just kept getting increasingly worse, to the point to where a few years later, I not only bowling completely out of the question, but getting up and walking and doing anything was also out of the question. I was crippled. I was partially paralyzed. I was in pain that was off the scale. And I realized that even though chiropractors could give some initial relief, that diminishing returns was very, very quickly setting in. And I was totally clear that I would not even let a medical doctor look at my back. Wasn't going to go there. Well, guess what? That leaves one option. You've got to find a way to heal yourself. And when you're starting at square one, where I was way back in 1976, not knowing that I create my reality, not even considering really anything remotely close to that, but yet making the very clear decision that I've got to find a way out of this, and the way out is I've got to learn how to heal myself. And so really that's what led me to breath work, and ultimately using it and being so totally committed. I mean, you know, when you want your life back that badly, you're going to stay with it until the doorway opens wide enough so you can just walk right through. And in my case, it was staying with it until I had become aware enough, competent enough, to be able to heal myself, and which I'm very happy to report that's exactly what happened. And the breath work was really, really the key that did it. I'm real glad that happened, that, you know, for a long, long time, I held that as a why me, and this is the worst thing that ever happened to me, and it's very clear to me now that it's the very best thing that ever happened to me, to be that totally out of commission with a back injury where on a good day it would take me 45 minutes to figure out a way to be able to move enough to even get out of bed and have some semblance of a day. And for a long time now, it's 100% as though it never, ever, ever happened. And so I guess I've learned something about healing myself, and I'm real pleased to be able to share that.
That's really important. So now you teach, you know, having studied with several important people, and having gone through, you know, the decades when breathwork was really, really out there from all the Aslan stuff and everything else, you teach your own type of breathwork.
Yeah.
And you teach something called the breath of life. Can you talk
the breath
to
of
us
life.
About
yeah.
that?
Yeah, sure I can. You know, in my books, I talk in some detail about how way, way back in the day, you know, if you go back quite a few thousand years, that, you know, in the days of Atlantis and prior to that in Lemuria even, that we were in unity, that we were quite different in a number of ways from how we are right now. And by unity, I mean is that we lived the oneness, the one spirit moving through all life, and recognized that, you know, really we're just cells in the larger body, and that what affects one affects the entire body. And but we fell, and we didn't kind of fall. We really, really fell down to the bottom of the barrel of self-aware consciousness, and we became our mind. And so this is really, really what happens, Star, that when you're in unity, you're living oneness out of your heart space. You've got direct connection through your higher self within that only knows unity because it's connected to Source, and we became our minds, which only knows separation. And what that does and what it has done is leave us in a state of continual judgment. I mean, you know, the mind is polarized, and so what it's going to see is good and evil, right and wrong, and it's looking out for number one, and it sees you as separate from and cut off from the rest of the reality. So it becomes, you know, very much of a well, in a lot of ways, a dog-eat-dog world. But this thing about judgment, I'll just bottom line it and say that these are all the problems that we have. It comes from that. It comes from the insistence that our minds have that reality should be different from what it is. That, you know, it's another person, or if only I had a better job, or whatever the case might be. And the problem is that whenever we do judge someone or something by insisting that it should be different because it doesn't meet with this imaginary standard that our mind is telling us that it should be, what happens is that we lock this energy up tight, always in the same place, always in our physical bodies, and that gets carried around as pain and stress and tension, and ultimately gets carried around as illness and disease. And so it became very, very clear to me that the source of my back injury was all this all this stuff that I hadn't handled, you know, the emotional imbalance to and like that, that all this stuck energy coming from judgment was just the bottom line on what created my condition. And I began to, you know, just take that and go, you know, the extra mile with it and begin to recognize that, yeah, it's absolutely true.
And it's but such a big waste of time. It's, you know, I remember when I was 40 years old and I used to see somebody on the street begging, and I used to look at their energy and say, oh, will they buy drugs or will they buy alcohol with the money if I help them? Yeah. And I remember turning 60, and I remember that when I saw somebody on the street, instantly I gave them prayers and healing, that I no longer spent 30 seconds going, oh, I wonder if they're going to drink. I wonder, you know, if I help them or don't help them, if I bless them or don't bless them, what it's going to be. And you know, now that I'm in my late 70s, it's just amazing to me to think back of all the seconds and minutes and days and days and years I wasted evaluating somebody or looking at somebody before I actually started doing my energetic blessing, my sacred geometry of work on them, and giving them that healing. And it's amazing how that tied my life up.
Well, that's great to hear. Star, you're a shining light. And the other thing I'll say about that is that, you know, you live and learn and all of that, but only if you do. I mean, it is a choice. And at some point, a number of people, and especially given the energy on the planet today, how it's accelerating dramatically, you know, it's becoming increasingly available to anybody who really would like to take a look that the higher self, our connection to source, is still there, still within us. And, you know, thankfully, there's people like yourselves who not only have discovered that, but have been teaching it and have been working with that, sharing it with other people. And in so doing, you know, very much doing your bit to contribute to a critical mass, because there's a transformation on this planet that absolutely has to be made. I mean,
it's,
you know,
wonderful. And we're talking to Bob Frizzell at bobfrizzell.com, FRISSELL, author of the wonderful book, Nothing in This Book Is True, But It's Exactly How Things Are. And I think that's been 10, 15 years ago, and you've contributed a lot I remember reading that book when it first came out and recommending that book to
other people.
Oh, well,
thank you.
Let's talk. We've talked a little bit about your breath work and people releasing that judgment. Let's talk a little bit about sacred geometry, which is one of my big areas. Talk to us. I know you studied with Jerome Bellow. Talk to us about sacred geometry, and you do still have Flower of Life workshops, I noticed.
Yeah, I do.
Your Flower of Life workshops and sacred geometry.
Sure, that's good stuff to talk about. Well, I mean, to me, one of the great recognitions, discoveries, whatever you want to call that, that I've come across, is the realization that that the universe is a hologram, And everyone and everything in it, given one thing we know about a hologram, is that you can take it, say, cut it into 4 equal pieces or 40 equal pieces or however many you want, and if you shine a laser through any one of those pieces, what you're going to get is a smaller version of the whole. And so what sacred geometry clearly shows you is exactly that. And so, you know, if you need to be convinced that all there is oneness, that everyone and everything is intimately connected to Source, inseparable from the whole, and that includes you and me and every single one of us in our higher self within, is, you might say, our connection to all that is. But, you know, I guess you could say that I was totally committed to doing everything I could to not only come out of separation, but to make it so obvious and so abundantly clear that this whole thing of separation and judgment is just when you're stuck in it, you're at the bottom of the barrel of self-aware consciousness, and there just has to be a better way, and there absolutely is. So sacred geometry, for me, really, bottom line, is a way of showing that everything, our body, what is our body? It's just a holographic projection of our consciousness. And the truth is that, you know, we think that we're born into an already done universe, but everything that you and I think that we see out there is just an illusion. It's not really real. We're creating every single bit of it from inside of us, and that includes all the way out to the most distant stars and quasars and whatever else might, you know, be out there. But it's, you know, what I learned, Star, is that it's really neat to say that, but, you know, how are you going to back that up? And so, you know.
Yeah, that's the big question. But, you know, even doing readings, people who come to me and say, Star, there are no good men out there, women who can, and I look, and they don't have a mate in their future. And people who come to me and say, Star, when am I going to meet my mate? I can actually find that mate in their future. So is it because that mate is or isn't in their future, or is it because they are thinking that that mate is or isn't in their future? And, you know, it becomes one big paradigm. And yeah. I found that this is a big world of yes. And whatever you think the most of at the end of the night, and you go to bed and you think bills, and then you do your 10 affirmations to be prosperous, and you have 42 thoughts of bills, that tomorrow you're going to have more bills.
Yeah.
But this is a universe of yes, and whatever you focus on, you get the most of, and people somehow either get that or don't get that, or somewhere in between. Well, I guess that's everywhere with it, but it is an amazing how we create our own reality, and you can tell that to a person over and over again until you personally experience and become responsible for your reality. Then it
exactly.
A big picture, or the big picture, or a big picture to you.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, you're getting into what I like to call the law of cause and effect, and I know that it's more popular to call it the secret. I call it the law of cause and effect so much, I just help me out here.
Right.
let me just stay with the law of cause and effect. You know, the thing that says that what you believe about life is what controls your life. That you always get what you want. There's no exceptions. No.
Well, and you have right now everything you've desired. You might not have everything you want, but everything you desired, which means you work for it, you put energy into it, you have. You might not have everything you want right now, but everything you truly desire, you have right now in your life.
Well, I'll add a couple of cents worth to that, and I would actually make the case for this law saying you always get what you want when you recognize that wanting is defined as both conscious and subconscious. So here's the catch right here, because most of what controls people is on a subconscious level. And what are wants? Well, they're the results of beliefs. And these beliefs in the subconscious are acquired that are usually under circumstances that cause you to suppress them immediately. And you don't even remember where they came from. You don't even know that they're there. Yet they are there, and they are creating reality moment by moment. Yeah, you can do your affirmations and all the rest of that stuff, but until you can find a way to get down to and interact with the problem at its source and harmonize the bottom line, you know, so you're not just treating superficial aspects, you're not just treating symptoms. And I can just kind of quick and tie this all together. That to me is the essence of what the breath of life is all about, because what you're doing there is you're using not only the breath, but also complete relaxation and awareness and detail to give you perfect access to the content of your subconscious mind. And what I mean by that is the energetic component. So what I do is teach people how to open up their internal feeling sense, and specifically to tune into the most prominent sensation in the moment without any need whatsoever to understand where it came from or what it's about, because it's all done on a feeling level. And if you can allow yourself to make peace with what you're feeling, the reason it was suppressed, the energetic component in the first place, is because of make wrong, because of judgment. So if you're making something wrong, if you're judging it, you're holding it in a context of non-acceptance. But if you can shift that context from non-acceptance to allowing it to be the way it is, I just mean the pattern of energy, that allows you to have a thorough experience of it on the feeling level, and that's what allows the energy to transmute. To transmute into your sense of well-being, and in so doing, you you literally disappear some of these subconscious beliefs, ultimately many, many, many of them, and create a little space for your true self to begin to come and present itself. And really, that's how I learned how to heal myself.
I imagine. Do you do private sessions, Bob?
Yeah.
My audience. Yeah. Big following of people having private sessions. And you do them on Skype, and I imagine on the phone, correct?
Yeah, Skype sessions work perfectly for Breath of Life, and also people in my area come and see me in person. So I do both.
And you live in the beautiful county of Sonoma, right?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It is incredible.
I've had a few clients out there who've had wineries, and I've gone out there and spent some time with them. And it's a beautiful, beautiful county. We're going to have to invite you to come to Hot Springs, Arkansas, home of the crystals and the bass, to teach one of your Flower of Life or one of your workshops here. We have a huge geodesic dome that seats a couple hundred people. And
oh, really? Wow.
We're glad to sponsor you out here. People, pay attention. Bob gives private sessions. I imagine that somewhere on your website it tells a little bit more about that at BobFrizzell, FRISSELL.com. And you have a contact place on there where people can get a hold of you and request private sessions. I'm strongly recommending a session with Bob. He is very, very attuned to energy. Okay, so I am seeing something on your website that just drives me bonkers because I love it so much. And it's called your MP3 Connecting to Source, and it has several sacred teachings on it. And I imagine I can order that, right there. It's a PayPal button. I can order it right away. Talk to me about this. This seems really, really powerful. My intuitive feeling about it is it really moves someone along.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking, Star. I appreciate that. And yes, I'll be glad to talk about that a little bit. What I did was I just realized, I woke up and had the brilliant idea one day, well, hey, how about if I take the content of my Breath of Life workshop, plus a few more goodies that I'm even given my workshop, and put it into MP3 and make it available to the general public. And that means that you don't have to you know, come and see me just to take my weekend workshop to get that. And furthermore, if you've got it on MP3, you can listen to it multiple times. You don't even have to bother taking good notes like you would in a workshop. So that really was the inspiration for it, and to also give an opportunity to spell out exactly what I mean when I'm talking about, you know, how everything is energy. And when you recognize that basically if you want to create true healing, you're not going to get very far just by treating symptoms. But if you can go to the source and harmonize the distortion in the base state construct, which is just vibrating energy, just waveform, which is what Breath of Life does. But, you know, it's useful also to give some, you know, to talk about that a little bit and to help people to understand it on that level too. So that, in essence, is what the Connecting to Source program is all about. It's about 10 hours, I believe, of MP3 recordings.
That's a lot of time, and it comes in six segments, and they have beautiful paragraphs and explanations on them on your website under the heading of Connection to Source. I feel really drawn to that, as I've been drawn to your book. Now, what do you have up and coming? What are you working on now? Are you writing something?
Yeah.
Workshop going on, baby.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, right. Well, I'm giving sessions, Breath of Life sessions, in Skype and in person too. So that's keeping me busy, and I've put together in the past couple of years, so many insights have come my way that I have it's really fair to say that in the past year and a half, I've learned more about this Breath of Life stuff that I teach than I'd learned in the previous 30 years combined. And that's at least very close to a totally accurate statement. What I can say for sure is that what I knew has just, you know, quadrupled to the nth degree, pretty much. You know, it's like all of a sudden it becomes, oh, it is so clear. It is so, I just get it. And it just, once you get it, there doesn't appear to be any limit at all to the possibilities. So the doorway is just wide open. And what I'm getting at is that, you know, at some point I simply have to put this into a book. I've got enough notes to put it into a book right now, but it's like, you know, there's part of me that likes to procrastinate and put things off and you know, like that. And actually, I'm really glad that I did, because if I'd have called my publisher 2 years ago and said, I got a book for you, it would only be a shadow of what I could put out right now. And part of me is going, well, how about if I wait another year? You know, maybe it'll get even better.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Bob. Everything I thought I knew a decade ago has been enhanced, elaborated, detailed, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It seems like, you know, I've been in metaphysics since 1958. I was a beatnik, if you could even imagine.
You've been at it longer than I have. It's just a delight.
I'm 77 in a month, so I've been at it
for a
long time.
You got me by a few years.
I'm just going to tell you this. Write your book, because every decade you're going to have to write another book about the same subject.
Yeah.
There's so much wonder and fulfillment. You know, I keep educating myself, and I think that it's important for all my listeners to keep educating yourself. When you think you know it all, when you stop learning, this is when you start stagnating.
I agree.
Some radical inquiry to what are my patterns, what was going on with me. And it doesn't matter whether it came too much for mom, for dad. You know, take out the garbage. Don't open up the garbage bag and say, Heinz ketchup, 16 ounces, 2 ounces on french fries, 2 ounces on hamburgers, and where did the other 12 ounces go? take out your garbage. Take out your patterns and breathe.
You're a delight. You're an absolute delight, Star. I just am so glad you asked me to be on.
You're an amazing man. And we're going to stop for the mid-program commercial right now.
Yeah, I gotta take a break, and that's fine with me.
Take a breather and let's.
Please join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Stargazing with Star Fuentes. For over 50 years, Star has been a pioneer in metaphysics. She has learned a lifetime of priceless information and is eager to share it with you as only she can. Visit her website at starfuentes.com, then tune in as she covers a weekly topic and then opens up the lines for your questions and comments. Again, that's Stargazing with Star Fuentes every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Well, I'm here with Bob Frizzell. Very pleased to be here. We're having a great time. Our number is 657-383-1612. So, Bob, do you travel anymore? I see most of your stuff occurs in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm not seeing too much outside of that. Do you travel and do your workshops anymore? Or you just
well, that's a good question. And what I began to realize is that this led directly to all the insights that have come in the past year and a half or 2 years. What I begin to realize is that, you know, maybe it's time to shift gears a little bit here, because it became very, very clear to me that I was just too busy traveling around and giving workshops or whatever, and I was stagnating. You know, it was I didn't have the time, much time, to do any research or to consider or to just let new insights come or any of the rest of that. And so I decided, well, hey, I live in Sonoma. It's beautiful. It's awesome here. Wouldn't it be great to be able to just, you know, be here? And I can do that. That's when I made the decision, instead of traveling so much, I'll just give my workshops here, and I'll give my sessions here. And because I give them on Skype, you can be absolutely anywhere, and it doesn't matter. So, and then, too, we were talking about the Connecting to Source program. That's the other thing. So I was realizing that, well, if I'm not traveling so much, or if I'm not traveling at all anymore, is there some way that people can still get the benefit of the workshop? And the answer is absolutely. You just record it and make it on MP3. And I'm able to not only carry on, but as I said, it's been the greatest year and a half in my life in so many ways.
It feels good. It feels, I'm very, very attracted, very magnetized. And my intuition is really, really keen about those things, to that Connecting to Source series. And I'm sure I'll be purchasing it. And when I step back for my holiday time, I will be going through it. Bob, talk to us about, what do you think the people out there right now, the spiritual people, the people doing their work, the light workers, the breathers, the veggies, the yogis, the healers. What do we need to hear right now? What do we need to know?
Well, that's really a great question. I mean, you know, you can write a whole book on that, and I will.
I'm sure you will. How about 2 or 3 minutes for us right now?
Yeah, right. Okay,
we'll
give
that.
We'll give the soundbite answer. So let me start by saying this, that we live in enormously accelerated times. I mean, it's like, duh, oh, really? But what's becoming available is information that given even 10 or 20 years ago, it was just, you'd have been considered a kook if you were this far out on a limb. But it's just amazing what's happening. And I'll just go back to one of my original ideas here, and that is that we're in the midst of living a transformation that, thank God, it's happening. And we don't have any choice. It absolutely has to be made, or we're going to destroy our world. You cannot take it as far as we have, being your collective mind, 7 billion strong, in total judgment of one another, standing apart from trying to conquer and control and manipulate and manage and all that, as opposed to, you know, just letting go and getting along and learning how to come from the heart space and learning how to create and live from the higher truth. So that really is the essence of everything that I've got to say, and that everything I do and teach is centered around showing, not conceptually. That's useful too, but it's only a beginning. showing it as a direct living experience, the larger truth that you and I and everyone and everything is inseparable from source, and we have it all within us. So to me, it's these are extremely exciting times, and at the same time, I'll have to say that the entire planet is on red alert. Because there's another side to all of this. How many more wars can we have before we totally destroy our planet? And nuclear war? I mean, just talk about that for a moment. Well, okay, I will. Fission, splitting the atom, is absolutely against universal law, and we're finding out right now. This disaster that happened 3 years ago in Fukushima, and we're getting it all here in the west coast of the Americas, and it's, if you live in Arkansas, you're getting it too. You can't just do this. You just can't do it. And we got to find a way out of the mess that we've made. And everything is a function of consciousness. And the truth is that we are one with all that is. Now, that sounds real nice and spiritual and airy-fairy and all the rest of that. And the question is, how do you take it from that? How do you take it from a good idea and distill it down to and make it real in a way that people can get it and step into it and live it? And so that's what motivates me to do everything that I can and to do it with joy and with I do it because I love it because it's who we all are. And when you're expressing and experiencing your true self and putting that forth, then life is a joy, and it only gets better. So whatever the original question was, that's my answer.
I got it. And, you know, it's really interesting. And living in Arkansas is offers some challenges in itself. And I have some very wonderful redneck people who live in, lady who lives in her trailer and has a son, and the husband disappeared or the father disappeared. And she's got a payment on her trailer and a payment on her truck, and she works as a waitress. And when I ask her what she wants, she tells me world peace. And she doesn't know how to meditate. She just knows she needs help, and she comes and she sees me when, you know, I'm doing my stuff and that. And if you think about it, when the redneck ladies in Arkansas, you know, the mothers raising their children, with the single mothers raising their children, they're not asking for more money in their pocket for a raise at work. They're not asking for a new car. They're not asking for a mate. They're asking for world peace. You know, something's going on at a real deep level on this planet. That the people who I may have judged or perceived are not that conscious are really getting conscious. So I'm with Bob Frisell at bobfrisell.com, BobFrisell.com. He is a wonderful teacher facilitator. He is a best-selling author, maybe in 100 different languages, maybe 100 million books.
No, it's
and
only 25.
just pay attention. This is a very important man. Go to his website and seek appointment and seek some of his works, especially the Connecting to Source work right now. All right, let's take a deep breath. Sean, do we have any callers out there who are appropriate? Well, he's probably talking to someone. So, Bob, tell me, what would you like to speak about to our listening audience?
Yeah, well, we're speaking about it right here and right now, so it's just
we are, and I'm thinking that it's really, really important to take care of your own self. If everybody in the world did their own personal work, did their own life work, their light work, their own breath work, that the world would heal very rapidly. And it's really, really important to do your work and share.
Yeah. Absolutely. I can share a few goodies that people can take with them and begin to at least consider. And So let's talk about that a little bit, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
Good, thanks. Well, the idea that we create our own reality, and, you know, that sounds good, and the question is, well, how do you get it inside of you so that it becomes, you know, like practical, so that you can use it in a way that helps, you might say, to forward the action? First thing I'll say is that the greatest thing that you and I and anybody else can do to heal the planet is to heal ourselves. And so when we do that, you're contributing to the critical mass. Everything within waveform universe is just energy, vibrating energy. Just waveform is what it is. And within waveform, incredible, fantastic amounts of information can be stored and is stored. I mean, you know, just contemplate for a moment the enormous amount of information it takes to create a body and to keep it functioning and to have conscious awareness and all the rest of it that goes with this miracle of being alive and being in a body and allowing infinite consciousness the opportunity to express and experience itself on this level. And interestingly enough, this appears that to be one of the true action spots throughout the cosmos, because higher beings who only know unity, I'm told, are standing in line just begging and hoping to get in here, to come down and have a last moment chance to experience polarity consciousness, because how can you know unless you step into it and live it? How can you know if all you know is oneness what it's like to be critical and judgmental of other people when all they see is that if you're doing that, you're doing that to yourself? That makes about as much sense as getting disgusted with your left hand and taking a knife and butcher knife and I'll get even with you and there goes your hand. So, you know, higher life forms only see oneness. But the whole thing about judgment and locking energy in place and all the rest of that, this is just to lay a little groundwork there to get to what I really would like to talk about, to give some listeners a takeaway here. And that is that if you can learn to simply, to just consider the possibility that you're not your mind, but the moment you become your mind, as we have done, what you're doing is really, it's the best way I know of to keep your true nature, your higher self, from ever presenting itself. It can still, you know, it can still shine through occasionally, but it's not going to be there for long because the mind in its survival nature is going to come in and take over. So my first suggestion is that the more you learn to just become an impartial witness of your thoughts, just watch your thoughts, and it needs to be done impartially, because the moment you start judging yourself, oh, that's a bad thought or that's a good one, especially the negative judgments, then that's your mind coming back in. So you're letting your mind back in through the back door, and in its survival mode, it's going to do absolutely everything it can to keep you out of just being an impartial witness to your thoughts. Because the moment you do learn to just watch your thoughts as an impartial witness, what you're doing is you're beginning to shine the light of your conscious awareness on the darkness within. And we know that if you walk into a totally darkened room, you know, just dark, you can't see a thing, yet you know where the light switch is. And the moment you flip on the light switch, the darkness is no longer there. What happens is it's, you know, very simple. The light transmutes the darkness into itself. Darkness cannot survive in the presence of light. And the principle of becoming the impartial observer of your thoughts is exactly that. By beginning to shine the light of your conscious awareness, in other words, allowing your higher self to begin to show itself, that's the light of your conscious awareness, shining that on the darkness within, you begin to see the amount of basic endless loop tapes that your mind is just presenting you with. You know, endless loop tapes, you go back to the 70s and 80s, and we used to buy these one-minute-long tapes that you could record affirmations on, and they would just play themselves over and over and over. Well, the moment you begin to become the impartial observer of your mind, of your thoughts, you can begin to see that that's all your mind is. It's nothing but pure mechanical. It's just stimulus response. And the moment you buy into that, it's got you absolutely hooked. But by just being the impartial observer, something else is beginning to show forth, and you're beginning to create space for your higher self to come through and present itself with, you know, you're just creating more gaps. So that's number one. And what I would add to that also is that, yeah, I teach the breath work, but I also want people to know that you can transmute energy even if you're not using the breath. And the way you do that, and I do this on it, this is 24/7 stuff for me. I do it all the time, watching my thoughts impartially and tuning in to notice what my body feels like. And specifically, what I want to say is that if you can become aware enough of what's going on in your body to notice that there is always a most prominent sensation, a strongest sensation in your body, even if it's just a little bit stronger, just a little more prominent than anything else you're feeling in your body, I suggest that you just learn to just tune it in and feel it. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to analyze it. You don't need to do anything except just feel it, and to do so in a context of acceptance. In other words, no matter what it feels like, you just be willing to allow that sensation to be the way it is. Well, I was talking earlier about how the Breath of Life technique is giving you perfect access to the content of your subconscious mind. This is the 24/7 application of it, that you can learn to do that not only in the Breath of Life sessions, but also no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. And, for example, as you become more proficient in this, what if you develop the ability to, like, for example, at work, to integrate any emotions that might get activated so that in the process of doing that, you can expand to include rather than to try and push away from you and resist that unpleasant, you might say, sensation in your body that gets generated as a result of an activated emotion. You know, suppose your boss came and did it to you, so to speak, and like that, and you get all plugged in. Well, instead of being at the effect of it, you can learn that you can transmute that energy simply by tuning in to notice what it feels like and make peace with what it feels like. And as you transmute that energy, you're integrating that emotion into your sense of well-being, and you can now have, you know, some space to truly be present in the work situation rather than being at the effect of that emotion that you choose to try and run away from and distance yourself from, and which I've noticed doesn't really work too well for many, many people.
So it's important, but, you know, I've also learned something, that my light can light up my past, and it can also light up my future. If I've been in a room before 6 times, 7 times, when the lights are on and it's the middle of the night, and let's say I have 20 people spending the night and people are all sleeping all over, I can go through the rooms in total darkness because the light from my past walking in that room lights up my future. And I can also am wise enough to know that if I walk into a room or a situation that I've never been there before, that I carry enough light to avoid triggering my buttons, pushing my buttons, triggering my emotions. But I have enough tools not to do that because I've watched myself do it for 50 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have enough light. Everybody has enough light to pull life from the past. You've been there, done that, screwed up. You're not going to screw up again. You didn't screw up. And you have enough light to push light into future when you walk into a room in total darkness, and it may even be a stranger's house. And God knows how many a times when I've been speaking on the road, and I was out there for 15 years, 250 days a year speaking, when I walked into somebody's house and it was after a workshop and they were in the car or something, and the lights weren't on, and I could walk in that room, and I would know where they would put the sofa and where the end table would be, and I could walk into somebody's life and know where that is, and most importantly, to be able to be so one with everything that wherever I am, I do it with grace. Now, don't get me wrong. I've fallen off cliffs. I've tripped over my own feet. I've stuck my feet in my mouth, changed feet. You know, I've done all of those things, even maybe one of them yesterday. But, and working with the light, your consciousness will spread behind you, in front of you, and it will totally, totally submerge you in the now if you're willing to accept it.
Well, you've been working on yourself for 50 years, too, Star, so not everybody can make that claim.
You know,
so
it's, you know, there are times when I had teachers when I lived in Africa, India, I'm going to remember a place I lived in, and the teachers would tell me stuff, and I go, yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. And 6, 7 years later or 2 days later, I would discover that, yes, you're right. And I've certainly learned that when people come from my to my house, whether there's somebody we found on the street and we're feeding them or somebody that's a master teacher visiting me from some exotic place all over the world, I still have a lot to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot to learn from myself in relationship to them, but really they're me, but yeah, well, you know how that one goes. We're all one. So that everyone is everyone's teacher and everyone is everyone's student. And if we could stop judgment, be humble enough to get that, we could listen and observe, then we're really doing our work on this planet. We're really doing a good job. Okay, Bob, time's up. I need to know some intimate facts about you. Are you a dog person, a cat person? What kind of a place do you live in? Tell us something about yourself.
Well, let's talk about cats, because what I truly love in this world is cats and redwood trees. They are number one and two on my list, and in no particular order. So the thing about cats is that, in fact, animals in general, and as I go hiking through the redwoods every day, I consider the wild animals and the domesticated ones, I always have cats, to be my teachers. And what I've learned from them is really, in so many ways, the keys to everything that I know right now, that they're always present, they're always in the moment, their mind is not at all like ours, their love is unconditional, they are not resisting, and what I can tell you is that I've learned so much as a result of just observing and looking at really my own cats. I tell in my books about back in 1980 how I had a cat named Freddy, and how he one day came home and his two back legs were paralyzed, and he could still inch himself forward. But he didn't appear to be in any pain, and it was no big deal to him. He was still just being Freddy. He wasn't making it wrong. He wasn't resisting it. And then what happened is that spontaneously I got a totally clear vision, really throughout all of my senses, that there's no way, that no reason at all, why he couldn't instantly and immediately be totally, completely healed. And in that instant, he was. But it got even better, because a couple weeks later he came home with an eyelid closed after he'd been out for a few hours on his daily adventure. And after, I don't know, a week or two, that eyelid finally opened, and what I saw was just ugly. That eye was, it wasn't an eye anymore. It was just like it was a dead piece of meat. What had previously been an eyeball was just dead and rotting, and veterinarian said he's going to have to come back and have that eyeball surgically removed. But the same thing happened again, and I got a spontaneous vision that there's no reason why he can't be totally and completely healthy throughout all of my senses. And in that moment, the eyeball healed. And it only took me about 15 years to recognize that I was witnessing everything you need to know about creating healing. healing my back. Yeah.
That sounds like that cat gave you a miniature version of what you went through in your life, and maybe you didn't lose an eye, but maybe you opened up your third eye or healed your third eye. So that cat gave you a mini life of you.
Took me 15 years to realize that perhaps the greatest key to all of this is that I had to stop making it wrong, the back injury, and stop making, just stop making it wrong, period. It took 15 years to fully realize and to recreate that Freddie had no resistance. There was nothing he was making wrong. He was just fine whether he was crippled or not, paralyzed or not. He was just fine whether he only had one eye or two eyes. And he was just being Freddie, just being as innocent in the moment, non-judgmental, non-resistant, just connected to infinite wisdom, ultimate teacher, like that. So, you know, in very many ways, I owe so much to Freddie in particular, and to just from everything I've learned from my cats and from being in nature. And, you know, I see a squirrel going by when I'm on my hike, and I just consider, well, you're my teacher. And just
the animals are amazing. I have yeah. several myself and stuff. But one of the things, I love sacred geometry, and I teach a class I brought back for the Mayans called Light Language, which is 80 polyhedras and 144 different colors instead of grids. It's kind of interesting. What I want to say is I work a lot with cancer people. And people come to me for cancer healings from all over the world. And when they are okay with themselves having cancer, there's something when they stop being against the cancer and start being for life.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, they have the cancer, there's something miraculous that happens in their healing process.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me how much just one little switch like that can change the prognosis on whether they live, die, survive, or live. And it's really mm-hmm. important to notice how unconditional animals are. Whatever your mm-hmm. condition is, their animal's condition is, they just go right on living and doing with what they got instead of complaining and making it wrong.
What we're talking about here is just, to me, universal principle, like a two-sided coin, like every coin has a head and a tails. Well, one side of the coin says that whatever you resist will persist. And so that's what I finally realized. It took until 1991, and that's when I got a significant but still partial healing of my back. But the other side of the coin says that if you can allow yourself to not only come out of resistance, but to tune in and have a thorough experience of the energetic component, the sensations in your body instead of trying to distance yourself from them, that by recreating them, you're transmuting the energy. And when I realized that, my healing was absolutely inevitable. And then I realized, too, that if you add the breath work to this, you're putting the whole system on steroids. And so I've personally known for a long, long time that I can heal absolutely anything. And I do so on a regular basis. I expect it. And at the same time, every time it happens, and I also see it regularly in clients, yeah, I expect it, and at the same time, I'm amazed by it, and absolutely, totally grateful for it at the same time. But
Bob Purcell, BOBFRISSELL.com. Visit the site. I highly recommend Bob's work. Thank you for being on our show today, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. Maybe we can get you out here in the next couple of years to Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Twist my arm. I'll
maybe
come
I can come out to Sonoma there. thank you so much, and thank you for doing your work on this planet.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having
good
me.
Good evening, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlightening episode. For more information on STAR's classes or services, please visit her website at starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660. Good night.